This morning we want to talk a bit about this idea of being a disciple of Christ. As we mentioned a moment ago, it is part of our vision statement. We as a church family have committed ourselves to being disciples of Christ. What does that mean? Well, we want to explore that question of what it means to be a disciple of Christ in the context of one of the miracle stories found in the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. One of the stories of Jesus. This is the story of the miraculous catch of fish there on the Sea of Galilee. Let's read that story together. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonging to Simon, this is Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. This story takes place early in the ministry of Jesus. The people of Galilee had been hearing a lot about Jesus. He was a miracle worker. He was a spiritual teacher. He seemed to have a new message of God's love for the people, and a new message about how God wanted to connect with his people. People were attracted to that. They wanted to hear more. Some of those who listened to Jesus were a few of the local fishermen there on the Sea of Galilee. Peter, his brother Andrew, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Peter in the fishing business. Now, these men were acquainted with Jesus. They knew about Jesus. They had heard about his message of hope. You know, one of the misunderstandings of this particular story is that some envision it as these fishermen met Jesus for the very first time on this day. And at the end of the day, they left their boats and followed him. And it's a remarkable story. Well, they did leave their boats at the end of the day. They do follow Jesus, but they had heard about Jesus. A lot of people had heard about Jesus, and they were attracted to Jesus, and they wanted to hear more from him. On this day, the crowds of Galilee had grown so large that Jesus decided to stand in one of the fishing boats, put out from shore a little bit so he could address this large crowd more effectively. Now, what kind of boat are we talking about here? Well, this is where an archaeological discovery back in 1985 will help us. Back in 1985, some people found the remains of a boat there in the mud bottom of the Sea of Galilee on the north shore. And they did some testing on the boat, and they discovered, indeed, it was a boat from the first century, from the time period of Jesus. In fact, it's called the Jesus boat. They carefully removed it from the mud. They reassembled that boat in a museum. And so if you go now, you can find this boat displayed, a boat from the very time period of Jesus. Whether or not it's the boat that we're referring to today, we're not certain, probably not, but it is the kind of boat. The museum did reconstruct the boat. This is what you'll find outside there again, right by the shore of the Sea of Galilee. So this is, again, a little bit of evidence we have, or a little background we have from a fun discovery. Now, the boat that Jesus used on this particular occasion was one that belonged to Simon Peter. Now, Peter had spent the night fishing. He was tired. He was cleaning up his nets while he listened to Jesus. He was interested in the message that Jesus was sharing. In fact, he was even willing to put away his work of cleaning up after a night of fishing in order to host Jesus in his boat as he continued to teach the people lined up along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Let's go on in our story, verses 4 and 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you say, I will let down the nets." Let's pause here for a moment and consider, what kind of fishing did they do? They are on the Sea of Galilee. Well, as we can tell from this story, they fished using nets. Now, net fishing was usually done near the surface of the water. Therefore, the best time to go fishing was at nighttime, or at least before the sun came up, because that's when the fish come near the surface. You know, after the sun comes up, the fish generally go into deeper waters, and it's hard to see them. It's hard to get the nets down into that deeper water in order to catch these fish. So the best time for fishing was in the dark, when the fish were close to the surface of the water. Peter and his partners, they knew this. Remember, they were experienced fishermen. They were coming in after their daily catch as Jesus was just coming onto the scene, beginning to teach the people in the morning sun. As we've already mentioned, Peter, he was interested in what Jesus had to say about God. He was also interested in the spiritual truths and the message of God's love and hope. But when this new religious teacher began to offer some advice to Peter, I'm guessing that Peter's immediate thought was probably skepticism. Peter probably thought to himself, who is this guy? A son of a carpenter. He's not a professional fisherman. What does he know about this situation? In fact, the very first words out of Peter's mouth seem to be the start of an objection to the suggestion that's offered to Jesus. Peter's an interesting character. In fact, if you're familiar with the other stories in the Gospels that involve Peter, you know that Peter is the king of the immediate, unfiltered response. In many of the stories that we see with Peter, the first thing that pops into his head comes out of his mouth, it's usually an extreme, reactionary response. And that's what we have in our story today. The first thing that comes out of Peter's mouth seems to be an objection to Jesus' suggestion. Jesus told Peter to put out into deeper water and to let down the nets again. Peter probably thought, this son of a carpenter has no idea how to catch fish. The window of opportunity for fishing has passed. Maybe he thought to himself, you know, what would Jesus think if I told him how to build a wooden plow or how to craft a set of chairs for a dining room set? After Peter, though burst out or blurted out the remarks about having already tried and already been unsuccessful, he catches himself and he decides to obey. Notice verse 5. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Peter's thinking, instead of trusting my own experience, instead of relying upon my own knowledge as a seasoned fisherman, I'm going to simply trust and obey Jesus. The master's word, the master's command took precedence over his human experience, his human knowledge. I think we can all learn a great deal from Peter at this very point. So often, we think we know best. Peter started to formulate an objection, thinking that he knew best how to fish, more than this religious teacher did. But he caught himself, and he decided to trust and obey Jesus. I think the lesson for us is very plain. You know, when we trust our own experiences, when we trust our own resources, when we trust our own knowledge, we often do come up rather short. Like in this story, the previous night's fishing yielded nothing. But when we trust and obey Jesus, following his instructions, following his advice, even when it doesn't seem logical to us, we then reap a great harvest. We have a greater catch of fish. I think we need to learn from Peter in the story. We need to trust and obey. The large catch that followed in our story was the result of obeying Jesus, not the result of Peter's skill or techniques as a fisherman. Well, let's read about this large catch of fish. Reading now verses 6 and 7 in our story. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners on the other boat to come and to help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Again, when we trust our own resources, when we trust our own knowledge, the yield is often minimal. But when we trust and obey God, the result is often a great catch. Let's turn now to the reaction of Peter to this great catch of fish. Verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet, and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the great catch of fish they had just taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Let's look carefully at this reaction of Peter to Jesus in this situation. It's a rather strong, unique reaction on the part of Peter. After a great catch of fish, he falls at Jesus' feet. He gets right down there in the bottom of the boat with all those smelly, flopping fish. He falls right down there and he beseeches Jesus to depart from him because he was a sinful man. What changed? What changed in the mindset of Peter here? A moment ago, Peter had started to challenge Jesus about his suggestion of throwing out the nets one more time. A moment ago, Peter had addressed Jesus as you would address a typical religious teacher. "Jesus, you may really not know how to fish. You're a carpenter, the son of a carpenter. But, I will show your suggestion some respect, some deference, and so because you're a highly respected teacher, I'll do it." But now, the reaction of Peter is very, very different. Now Peter throws himself at the bottom of the fishing boat in a great display of humility and contrition, and he asks Jesus to depart from him because Peter didn't feel worthy to be in the presence of Jesus. What changed? I think this is what changed. Peter had come to realize who Jesus really was. Jesus was not just some new religious teacher. He was something much, much more. Peter had come face to face with God. And in coming to realize who Jesus really was, Peter also comes to realize who he really is. He was a sinner before God. You know, the more we realize the holiness of God, the more we realize who Jesus really is, the more we realize our own sinfulness. You know, this very reaction is also seen in the person of Isaiah, the prophet. We've considered this story before. If you recall, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, the prophet describes a vision that he had received from God, and it's a vision of God sitting upon his throne. God is surrounded by the heavenly creatures who sing, "Holy, holy, holy." It's a spectacular vision. How does Isaiah react? Well, he reacts much like how Peter reacts in our story this morning. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, he falls down upon his knees and he says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." In that story of Isaiah chapter 6, one of the seraphim comes and touches the lips of Isaiah with one of the coals from the altar, purifying Isaiah. You see, when Isaiah realized who God was, he also realized who he was before God. When Peter realized he was standing before God, not just another religious teacher, he was standing before God, he also realized who he was before God. This should cause us to reflect on our own understanding of who Jesus is. Do we really know who Jesus is? Is that reflected in how we respond to Jesus? Do we carry on our Christian life with mildness, with devotion but not too much, with commitment but not too much? Or, do we realize that we are disciples of the King, the Lord of hosts? Do we have that strong, compelling reaction that we see here in Peter? Peter had a rather strong, unique reaction when he realized who Jesus was. Well, before we finish the story this morning, let's compare this story with a familiar story that took place at the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry in John chapter 21. We actually looked at this story last week, drawing out a different spiritual truth. If you recall from last week's message, a few days after Peter had denied even knowing Jesus on the night of the trial of Jesus, we read that Jesus came to the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he performed the very same miracle as the one we're talking about this morning. In both stories, the disciples had spent the night fishing, but without much success. In both stories, Jesus suggested that they put the nets out just one more time. And in both stories, there was a miraculous catch of fish. We also see in both stories that Peter had a rather strong reaction. This is where the stories differ, though. The second reaction that we see in the life of Peter is very different, the opposite of the first reaction. The first time, Peter came to realize who Jesus was, and he wanted to run away from Jesus. He realized that he was a sinful man standing in front of a holy God. However, in the second story, the second occasion of this miraculous catch of fish, John chapter 21, the reaction of Jesus was to run toward, or the reaction of Peter was to run toward Jesus. Actually, in the story, he jumps out of the boat and he swims as fast as he can to the shore. He needed to get right there with Jesus as fast as he could. What changed? What changed between the first time, Luke chapter 5, and the second time, John chapter 21? Well, this is what changed. Peter's understanding of the mission and the purpose for Jesus' coming. Remember, in the first story, he came to realize who Jesus was. He was God himself, not just another religious teacher. In the second case, he had come to realize what Jesus had come to earth to do. Remember, Peter had spent 3 years with Jesus between the first occasion and the second occasion. Jesus had come to earth to reconcile us to the Father, to forgive our sins, and to heal our brokenness. Jesus wasn't to be feared or avoided. We are to run to Jesus to experience the forgiveness and the reconciliation that he wants for us. Now, both of these reactions on the part of Peter instruct us. When we know who Jesus is, we need to respond with humility, contrition, repentance. But when we come to understand what Jesus came to do, we then need to run to Jesus in order to enjoy the forgiveness that he wants to extend to us. Both of these reactions go hand in hand. Let's finish the story in Luke chapter 5, the first account of this miraculous catch of fish. Look on now, verses 10 and 11. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. What do we learn about being a disciple of Christ from this story? Especially how the story ends. They left everything and they followed him. Well, to begin, the first step of being a disciple is that we need to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Luke 5, 11 says that after this miracle, the disciples put their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. These first followers of Jesus are the disciples of Jesus. They want to be a follower of Jesus. So what does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a pupil of, to be a learner of, to take on the same mindset as the master, to follow Jesus. Following Jesus requires a lifetime of learning and obeying the word of Jesus. Jesus himself says in John 8:31, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? It means to learn from him, to leave everything and to follow him. Secondly, to be a disciple of Jesus means that we allow Jesus to make us a fisher of men. Luke 5:10, Jesus told his fishermen disciples, "From now on you will catch men." On this day, Peter filled his net with fish, hundreds of fish. But after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter would be the first to preach the good news about Jesus. And he will see 3,000 people respond in faith on that day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. I'm certain that Peter was much more excited about catching 3,000 souls for Christ than catching a few hundred fish here on the Sea of Galilee. A disciple of Jesus will be a fisher of men. Just before Jesus was ascended into heaven to meet his Father, he gave to his followers, his disciples, the Great Commission. And from the very beginning, the church, the disciples of Jesus, began to fulfill that commission, to live out the calling upon their lives. Acts 5:42 says that the first believers there in Jerusalem, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Later on, when persecution forced many of the believers to flee from Jerusalem, we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Eventually, these early believers preached the good news to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. According to Acts chapter 11, verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The book of Acts continues with the same spread of the gospel, the same story of the disciples becoming fishers of men. And it continues throughout the history of the church, and it continues to this day. And we need to continue that legacy of being fishers of men. Thirdly, being a disciple of Jesus will sometimes take us into the deep waters. Jesus told Peter and the other disciples, Luke chapter 5, verse 4, to put out into the deep water. And when they followed Jesus' instructions, they caught so many fish that their nets were stretched to the breaking point, and they almost sank their boats. You know, when we follow Jesus, especially when we take seriously the call to win people to Christ, to be fishers of men, we will find ourselves outside of our comfort zone. Following God's call to win people to Christ will sometimes put us into deep waters. It will stretch us to the breaking point, and sometimes we will think that we're about to sink. But these are all the signs that we are exactly where God wants us to be. Stretching ourselves, taking on the risks, going out into the deep waters to be fishers of men. Next, being a disciple of Jesus will always bring great blessings. Peter, James, John, Andrew, they were all professional fishermen. They'd been so their whole lives. And here in Luke 5:9, it says that they were astonished at the catch of fish they had just experienced. They had never caught so many fish before. They had never even heard of someone catching that many fish. It was more than they could ever imagine. 2 boatloads of fish, so much so that the boats were starting to sink. When we follow Christ, God will supply our needs beyond what we can imagine. Finally, following Christ, being a disciple of Jesus, is worth whatever it costs. The disciples here, these fishermen, had just caught the largest catch of their lives. 2 boatloads of fish. That's amazing to one of the local fishermen. But they walked away from their nets, their boats, all the fish, their jobs. They walked away from everything in order to follow Jesus. Are we willing to give up everything in order to follow Jesus? Are we willing to pay whatever it costs to be a disciple of Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? We've committed ourselves to being disciples. What does that mean? Let's pray. Father, as we consider the story of Peter and the other disciples who gave up everything to follow you, we want to be challenged. We want to reflect on our own lives. Do we desire to be the disciples that you've called us to be? Are we willing to count the cost? Are we willing to consider the commitment and to live out our lives in such a way as to wear the label, disciples of Jesus? Father, help us as we stand before Jesus to recognize who Jesus is and who we are in light of Jesus. But also, Father, let us to run to Jesus and be willing to give up everything to follow Jesus, because we realize that following Jesus is becoming a child of our Master. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.